Welcome to Life on the Illinois Prairie. Your host is Wendy Fleming Dexter, and after 30 years living in small town Illinois, she has stories to tell. Past cornfields and factories, into the heart of Amish country. There's more here than what meets the eye, far beyond what you think you know. So buckle up and stay tuned. This is Life on the Illinois Prairie.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Life on the Illinois Prairie. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. I have a returning guest today. He was here, four or five episodes ago. And we didn't get to finish up everything we want to talk about, so I asked him to come back. Welcome back, my husband, Stacy M. Doty. Hi, Stacy.
Hello again.
Hello, long time no see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Stacy, would you like to go over your background information for those who may not remember it or who are just listening for the first time?
Sure. Well, I was born in Charleston, Illinois. I still reside there. So, my mother and my father, well, my father was a musician. He was a guitar player. And my mother was a singer. So I've basically started this musical journey when I was a little kid. I was walking around just singing in the kitchen, and my dad decided when I was about 11 years old to try and see if I'd like to learn how to play guitar. So I started playing when I was 11, and I've still been doing that all these years later.
Yeah. And how many years would that be?
I started, I was 11. I'm 72. So a long time.
A long time. You've learned a lot of tricks along the way, haven't you?
I think I'm okay on guitar. I've played with a lot of different bands, and I've learned things a lot by just being able to be in bands with guitar players far better than me, but you learn things on the way, and after a while, it becomes kind of second nature, but you're still learning. I still do that, sure. Even today.
Well, you've surrounded yourself, had the good fortune to be in bands like the Sawyer Brothers with John Sawyer, who's an excellent guitar player, and you've played with Kenny Hayes, another local legend over the years, Marty Williamson back in the day. So each time you mm-hmm. get the opportunity to play with those people, you do pick up skills from them, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's, I wouldn't trade those experiences of playing with these very phenomenal musicians for anything. That it really, again, it's helped me to be whatever guitar player I am now. It's really helped a great deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that people like Kenny Hayes, he would push you to do better, because I've been around at rehearsals and things where he would push you to do better, to do beyond what you thought you could do.
Yeah, he would give me hell every once in a while. I spent a lot of time over at his house and just jamming with him. And we were learning songs or just trying stuff. I was actually in three bands with him over quite a few years. And he would either correct me or show me how to do it, or just playing with him, let alone him showing me things, was an immeasurable amount of ability to learn how to play better. So I give a lot of him to Kenny Hayes and John Sawyer for giving me the experience I needed to keep continuing to play guitar.
Mm-hmm. So we also talked a little bit in the previous episode about Fire Creek. And we talked about the past part of it. We didn't talk about the more current happenings when the guy who had been the drummer for Fire Creek went on to become the drummer for the 1964 the tribute Beatles tribute band, Bobby Potter. And you've kept in touch with him over the years, right?
Yes, I have. I don't know. I can't remember when, but we connected when he was still in 1964, and he would send me little messages saying, "I'm playing here, I'm playing there, if you like to show up." So I actually had a chance to catch him at, I think it was the first time I saw him with them was at the Coles County Airport. I'm pretty sure it was the first time. So at that time, you and I went to see him, and I was able to talk to him. We set up a time to actually for all of us from Fire Creek to actually get together. So we met at one of the local motels and down in the dining area. It was me and Dave Lumsden, who is still a guitar player and still plays with bands, and Ben Brinkley and Tom Cooper. Both those guys, Tom and Ben, no longer play with bands, but it was such a wonderful time to get together and talk about the old days. And Ben Brinkley has this amazing ability to recall events from so long ago. I mean, this was the early 70s. He would tell us about this happened or that happened, or we did this, or we did that. So it was quite a wonderful time. I am very happy that that was able to happen.
That's great. I think they're mixing two different. We saw them two different times. We saw them the first time out at the airport, the Coles County Airport, when they were playing on the tarmac, and I felt really sorry for the guys because the night before they had played at Red Rocks. What's it called? Red Rocks Amphitheater, or wherever that is. I've never been there, but I know it's a phenomenal venue. A whole lot different than the tarmac at Coles County Airport. two more different places. Yeah. And then I believe if you remember, that was at the Bagel Fest in Mattoon where they played. And then after that is when we got together. You planned that whole reunion. Yeah. Yeah. So,
Okay.
It was really funny to see.
You're exactly right. Some of these things kind of mash together, you know.
Sure. But that first time we went out to eat with them at Steak and Shake, I'd forgotten about that. We went out to eat after, you know, a couple of the other guys went. I don't remember which of the other characters it was. I don't know if it was the guy that played George, or I don't remember which ones it was. We went to Steak and Shake.
I think it was the fellow who had actually started the whole thing, 1964. That was the guy who played John Lennon. I can't remember his name. I wish I could, but Mark Benson, that's his name.
Yeah. Mark Benson. Well, that was a fun experience to get to rub elbows with those guys, I thought. And it was nice. It was nice that you could be able to get together. I know that wasn't the only iteration of Fire Creek, that over the years, like many bands, they evolve and grow and change, and members drop out and new ones come in. But you were able to get together, the five of you guys, and we took pictures, and it was a fun time.
It sure was. Yeah, I'm so happy that we could pull that off. And I mean, two of the guys, Ben and Tom, lived in Southern Illinois, so it was pretty much of a trek for them to get up there, but they did it.
That's right. And you guys really just picked up where you left off. It wasn't like there were decades that had gone by. It was a good camaraderie you guys had, as musicians often do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a very cool time.
How about when you, can you remember some of the famous venues that you played at when you were playing with when Sawyer Brothers and Nancy Hayes? I know you talk about Atlantic City. There were different places. Could you remember any of the other types of venues that you guys played at when you were able to do those shows?
Well, during the Cheryl years, we played in Atlantic City. She was doing the Patsy Cline show. And a lot of the casinos on the Iowa-Illinois border. But with Nancy, She flew us to Florida, to Texas, to California, and most of those venues, a lot of those venues were ballrooms where she would were opening for established country artists like Roy Clark and Crystal Gayle. Those were ballroom venues that the corporations, they're large corporations that would contact her and have her book a country artist, and she would open for them. But some of the places he opened were like the Rattle Theater, that was for Ronnie Millsap, Rickman Auditorium, that's in Missouri, Festus, Missouri, that was Glenn Campbell, and there are others, Bellamy Brothers. I can't recall the venues, but they were concert halls. A lot of them were concert halls as well. So that was pretty nice, pretty nice. It was definitely something that helped my music career immensely. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Plus, playing with the Sawyer Brothers, I wouldn't have been able to do any of this without being in the Sawyer Brothers band.
Right. It did open up a lot of opportunities, didn't it?
Sure did.
Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit over the, you and I, just yesterday about Nancy Hayes, who's been a guest on the show, a wonderful friend of yours and a good friend to us, about her her career that, you know, when she was playing with you. And then she, when she had her four children, she stayed at home and put her performance career kind of on the back burner while she ran her own booking agency. So Nancy knows how to put together a show and to make it a very favorable experience for the performers, doesn't she?
Yes, and she's, I believe she's still doing it. She's done it for a very long time. She's very experienced, very well done. As I mentioned before in previous podcasts, she'd worked with all these amazing artists and booked a lot of very cool guys, even George Burns, you know, in the Chicago area. Mm. But she's very good at it, and she had her own obviously booking company, so she just has a very good knack of doing it.
Well, Nancy does it all. She sings, she dances, she writes songs. She performs. She's gone to the UK just most recently, and had a tour over there. She has cruise shows that she does where people, her line dancing songs are legendary. So and you know, she performs with her children. There's nothing Nancy cannot do. She is just a multi-talented person, been so down to earth.
Yeah, she's not much for sitting, that's for sure. she has all this talent, and she's got to get it out, and she's very good at it. So I'm very very happy to know her, very pleased I got to work with her for many years.
Yeah, she's a remarkable person. So when you retired from EIU, you continued to play in different bands. You had Pearl Handle Band and Mojo and Whiskey Jack, but we haven't talked much about a band that you get the opportunity to play in at least a couple of times a year anymore. It used to be more frequently than that, but there's a band based out of Paris, Illinois called the 71 Band. Would you talk a little bit about the 71 Band and why that's been such a treat for you to play with them? And we all know it's part of it's because of Kenny Hayes.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I got asked to join 71 Band, I bet it's 20 years ago, by Randall Rhodes, who's played in different bands with me. He still do 71 Band. Also, he's a keyboardist in the Pearl Handle Band we do the Patsy Cline tribute shows. So there are eight members in that band. Three of them I've worked with well, Kenny Hayes and Justin Hayes and Randall for a good 20 years or so. And the other three guys are, they have a different, actually Justin's the bass player now, but it was Jerry Branson played bass when I started, and Donnie Alexander played drums, and Steve and Beetle, they were guitars that grew up and went to school the same year. Well, they both graduated in 1971 as well. So all of them are from Paris except for me. So so anyway, Randall asked me to join, and I've been doing shows with him ever since. But like as you mentioned, used to play quite a bit, but now it's just during the summers at the Paris Park.
Yeah, twice a year on Thursday nights. That's a wonderful thing that Paris has. Some different towns have that summer music series, and Paris happens to have theirs on Thursday nights, and it's a wonderful thing for the community. Always a big turnout, all age groups, and they usually bring some buses from the developmentally disabled population, and those people love to get out there and dance to that music, and it's just the most rewarding thing to see them appreciating and enjoying that music too.
Well, I enjoy it mainly because I get to play with guys I've known for so many years, and they're all extremely talented. So I'm very fortunate. I must say, I'm very fortunate.
Well, you are. And then I have said it many times, and you probably just did too, about Kenny. Kenny playing lead guitar, and his son playing drums, and his grandson Harrison playing bass, and Kai's 15 years old, right? The boy's a track star.
Yeah,
and all the boys in that family play musical instruments, and they don't know yet how fortunate they are to be born into that environment. They don't know.
Right. Yeah. Well, Kenny is so good. He could have been easily an LA sessionist if he wanted to be. He just that just wasn't his scene. But he's extremely good, and then. His son Justin can play drums or keys or guitar, and Harrison is very amazing on bass for not having very many years under his belt other than being around his dad and his grandpa. So it's not surprising, really. It's quite interesting.
Right. Well, it's kind of like I said, the Sawyer brothers. When those people grow up in those families where they, you know, like you, when your dad played around the kitchen table with his friends, and, you know, you grow up seeing that and hearing that. I mean, we just didn't have that at home. We sat around the kitchen table and watched TV because we didn't, anybody in my family play musical instruments. And I know that goes back generations because, you know, before there was TV, before there was radio, what did people do for entertainment? You know, they had music and, probably a few other hobbies to keep people occupied at that time. Mm-hmm. So you retired from Eastern, and then after you retired for a few years, and then you went back to work part-time, 2 days a week, in a music store. So what I told you, when you went from working an office job, an IT job, that it was going to be different working in retail and working with people, even though my experience was working in much bigger retail environments than the store you work in. It was, you learned a little bit, didn't you, working in a retail store that's different than working in an office environment?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, it's very different from working at a university setting, and because I was dealing with department heads as well as IT staff. And also was a manager, so I had people working for me. At SoundSource, most of what I do is interact with musical customers who are looking for musical gear. I also deal with vendors, much like at EDIU with computer technology. But it's quite a bit different, but it's very rewarding in a lot of different ways because I'm around musicians, I'm around musical gear. And it's I enjoy doing it. I don't think I'd want to do it more than 2 days a week, but it's pretty cool. I met a lot of cool people from working there.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it you've also learned things like, you know, if a store is open till 5:30, don't go in at 5:25 to try to buy a guitar, because that's kind of rude.
Yeah.
There's been a little bit of enlightenment on that side as what it's like. When you go in as a customer, now you see things more of an employee. When you've been on your feet all day and you're ready to go home and somebody comes in, it's like, oh, I'm just looking. Okay, but we're closing in 5 minutes, pal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we get a lot of that. So I think a lot of these musicians stay in bed all day.
You know? Well, that's kind of painting everybody with a broad brush, don't you think?
Well, I said some. I should have said some. So,
let's see. We did mention, too, and play a couple of your songs. We played... what did the two songs that we played? Shadows in This Room and
Sweet Adoration.
Sweet Adoration. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Sweet Adoration has been out for a while, but you're just finishing up the work on adding harmony to Shadows in This Room. So, could you go over again a little bit about who all the people were who were on that, who helped you out on that song, and putting it all together for you?
Yeah, Jay Ferguson plays drums on it, and then J.B. Ferris, who played bass, and John Clarkson laid down four different guitar parts, and then, of course, you added a harmony part, and Abby Hawley added a harmony part. On Sweet Adoration, I did get a chance to add a harmony part. I didn't think any of them would fit. I found out later that I could have put one in, but just here recently, I realized I could put one in. But yeah, Jay Ferguson has a studio at his house. And so the guys came, all of us came in except for you and Abby, because harmony parts had to be put down last. In fact, my vocal part, which is the lead part, it had to be put in after all the instrumentation had been laid down. So I'm really proud of both those projects. They worked out really well. I was very fortunate to have extremely competent and talented musicians to come in and agree to do this with me. So, that was just completed. It still has to be mixed and mastered down, but I'm really looking forward to getting the final product, and I'll be putting that on some Spotify and some other streaming sites.
Besides all those talented musicians and people that you work with, and people like Jay who is putting this all together for you, I think you're fortunate, although you don't always realize it. You're fortunate to have a wife that pushes you to get some of your dig into your old music files and rework some of these things, and as I keep telling you, work around your musician friends and collaborate on some of these things. You know, sometimes it's not necessarily being pushy; it's a helpful little shove.
No, I agree. I don't think I'd ever would have probably done it without some support from you. So,
well. Well, the same thing, you know, we wouldn't be doing this if not for you. When you first suggested that I do a podcast, I thought you were out of your mind. And I know we each think the other is out of the mind probably at least a couple times a day. So that's not unusual for us to feel that way. But we've had such a wonderful time doing this podcast. And so do you want to share any in our contact information again for our Dodie and Dexter pages and website?
Sure. Our website is Dodie and Dexter, DotieandDexter.com. And all the shows are there, bios, video, and I try to keep it updated on all the shows. It's got quite a few coming up, including the State Fair, coming up in August. So that's pretty much how you can get, you can contact me through the website as well.
And we also have a Doty and Dexter Facebook page.
Mm-hmm, that's, yeah. Forgot about that. That's why you're here, right?
Well, of course. You. Well, you do the website and I do the Facebook page, so we have a division of labor.
I admit I need help every once in a while, so.
Oh, honey. We both need help. But this has been fun. Thank you for finishing up those little unfinished little things that we had left over from the first episode that I thought we needed to get back to and complete. And thanks for coming back, Stacy. I know you come back every Monday because I get to see you on Mondays. It's my day of the week.
Well, I've really enjoyed revisiting the past and talking about my musical journey, which is a lifelong thing. I hope to be doing it for many more years.
Well, yeah, there's no reason why you shouldn't. And that's the that's the thing I keep telling you. You know, you can play as long as your fingers hold up and just keep plugging away, because there's no reason why you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for being here, Stacy, and finishing up the latest part of your story. And we'll add to it as it goes on.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. And everyone, thanks. Please follow on my Life on the Illinois Prairie Facebook page and leave a favorable comment if you're so inclined. And everyone, please be kind. Thanks for listening to Life on the Illinois Prairie, the undercurrents of our American life. If you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe to Life on the Illinois Prairie wherever you get your podcast. Stay tuned for more stories, interviews, and updates. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. Until next time.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.